Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating Atlanta's heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of Atlanta's elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, February 3rd, and we've got Sam Grass and Lee Cantor in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Brad. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. We've got a great show this morning, and it's a huge trivia day. So
here we go.
We'll start with the useless trivia. Today is the Feast of St.
Excuse me. What trivia do you give us besides useless?
Oh, come on now. Today is the Feast of St. Blaise, patron saint of wool.
Of wool,
yeah, believe it or not. And St. Blaise was known for his blessing of the throats. So for somebody who talks all day, I'd think this would be an important holiday for
yes,
you.
Yes, it is. We're celebrating here in the studio. I'm wearing a blazer.
Actually, he intercedes for people with fish bones stuck in their throats.
I can't. Where do you come up with this stuff, Brad? How do you get it?
Wikipedia is my friend, even if most of what's on there isn't true. It's also the birthday of Felix Mendelssohn, Sidney Lanier from Lake Lanier, Norman Rockwell, and Henry Heimlich of the famed Heimlich maneuver.
And that brings us back to the fishbone guy.
They're
all connected.
They're all connected.
How are you going to transition to the show?
No idea.
Okay.
But, and then the other thing, in 1913, they passed the 16th Amendment. You guys know what that is?
Brad Culpin is it is trivia, non-trivia.
Thou shalt not kill.
No, this is a good one. This is what gave the feds the right to impose and collect an income tax.
Oh, so it's a sad day for everyone.
Not a day of celebration. Actually, the other thing that happened today in 1959, today is the day the music died. You guys remember that?
The plane crash?
Plane crash with Buddy Holly. So, with that, no
that
idea.
Cheery note.
Let's move forward. Yeah.
No idea how to transition, but we've got a great show today. We have three people from the Life Care organization, and we have first up Bart Walker, who is the executive director of the campus in Lawrenceville, and we'll be speaking for Garden Plaza this morning. Good morning, Bart.
Good morning.
And we have Lisa Lewis representing the bridge, and we have Holly Noth representing Life Care Skilled Facility. So great lineup this morning, and we're going to start with Bart Walker. Bart, good morning again.
Good morning. Thanks for having us today.
Thanks for being here. Bart, if you could just start by giving us a little bit of background on yourself, where you're from, how you got to be where you are today, and then maybe transition into a little bit about the Life Care campus.
Sure. Thanks again for having us. A little bit about myself. I grew up in Tennessee, Middle Tennessee. Lived there pretty much my whole life. Have worked with Life Care and Century Park Associates now for almost 13 years, and it's been a great experience working with them. We've actually been in the Lawrenceville area now for about 6 years, and have really loved the transition here. But like I said a little bit about myself, my dad actually I grew up being in the healthcare business, and the fact that my dad actually was involved in skilled nursing care, and it was a pretty neat thing growing up being just exposed to senior citizens as a whole and the ins and outs of what's required in the skilled care business. So it was a natural progression for me as I continue to progress through college and everything to really gravitate towards senior health care.
Is there a particular instance that you can speak to that happened in your life that you knew you wanted to be in the senior care market? Is there something specifically?
You know, I always knew growing up that healthcare was definitely a calling for me. It's just something that I felt, you know, all the way along growing up and going through school. You know, I think as I continue to progress and truly learn what he did in the skilled nursing care business, I think it was a natural fit for me and my strengths as a professional.
And with that, how did you then come to Life Care? What brought you to the organization?
You know, it's a pretty interesting story. You know, my dad actually works for another company. And, you know, when we were exploring options and I was, you know, going to him as truly not only a dad, but as an advisor in college, you know, talking about who, you know, who ran quality programs and everything. And, you know, he was really high on Life Care Centers of America and, you know, what they did, the services they provided, and most importantly, the ability for me to be able to grow and develop as a professional in the organization.
What's unique and special about the Life Care organization?
I think a couple things. Number one, we're privately held, which makes it really nice, in our environment to be able to truly provide a top level of care. The diversity. You know, we're actually there's two different parent organizations, essentially. Life Care Centers of America manages the skilled nursing side. Century Park Associates manages the retirement side, which is going to include the retirement living as well as assisted living. So just great diversity from our standpoint to be able to provide those services in one area.
Bart, take a step back and let's go back to Life Care of America. Obviously, there are a number of facilities spread out through a geographical area. Can you speak to the numbers and where you are located kind of nationwide?
Sure. Well, put me on the spot there, Sam.
Well, I want you to name every one of them.
Okay.
And their mailing address.
There you go. No, we've got about 240 skilled facilities and about 45 retirement communities in around 28 different states all over the country. So we're definitely a national company, you know, awesome brand, honestly. You know, we provide a great level of service, truly, with great caring professional associates and, wonderful physical plants. So we're really proud of the product that we can provide.
And, speaking specifically to Garden Plaza, it is a beautiful facility. It's only a couple of years old. Talk specifically about Garden Plaza for a minute.
Sure. Yeah, we were really excited when the decision was made to complete our campus and bring independent living to a reality there in the Lawrenceville campus. And we opened a little bit over 2 years ago, and we're a 150-unit independent living community. A little bit of a new concept is an overall concept, assist, independent living is, but it's been a great opportunity in our community to be able to provide that senior living experience for those people that truly looking for just an alternative. We have, like I said, the 150 units, many different apartment styles and types, anywhere from studio apartments to one-bedroom, two-bedroom, deluxe accommodations, meal services, great recreational program. And I think that's the fun part of that is honestly just the social environment that we can provide. You know, it's typically, you know, seniors that we see are looking for both social and security. You know, so we're able to be able to provide both of those things there. And it's been a great experience, honestly, to be able to grow with the campus and grow in the community over the last couple of years.
Can you talk a little bit about, like, what a day in the life of one of the residents is?
Absolutely. You know, a day in a life, honestly, of independent living resident truly can be whatever they choose it to be. You know, we provide and have access to many different services there. You know, we provide two meals a day. We have a continental breakfast that's provided every day, as well as we have restaurant-style dining provided at night. So our residents are able to go in, have a choice of menu selection, you know, to be able to provide great food service. You know, recreational programming is huge for us. You know, we typically take the philosophy that we're gonna offer many different things. You know, we try to take our residents and their likes and desires, and truly try to provide a level of service that they would expect, you know, from different card games and those type things to many different trips to Atlanta. You know, we frequent, you know, going to the theater, you know, going to ball games, just different things, book clubs, you name it, we do it.
Now, how many of those things are kind of led by you guys, and how many are actually started by any of the residents?
it's a good mixture, honestly, and that's the beauty of independent living. You know, I would say on average day, you know, we probably have anywhere from 10 to 12 different things offered, you know, as far as different activities or recreation events that are planned by the building, our community. But at the same time, you know, we definitely encourage resident-led events. Mm. You know, they may help partner with us in offering those and leading those, but the fun part is we continue to grow and age as those residents are able to truly step back. And when you start seeing the impromptu bridge games at the end of the hall and, you know, seeing those different events, it's really rewarding for us as staff.
At what point does someone start to consider an independent living facility?
You know, that's a really tough question, and I think from our standpoint, we see it all over the board. One thing that we've really realized is age becomes less and less of an indicator as time goes on, and what we see a lot are truly people come in, you know, looking for something, and you know, as associates of Garden Plaza, that's our primary responsibility is to find out what they're looking for, you know, and to be able to what can we offer them as a community to be able to help them be able to thrive in our community.
Hmm. If age is not a driving factor, which I understand, it as you said, it becomes less and less. Is there one issue that stands out, or as you said, is it just a mixed bag?
Well, and I think when I say age is not a driving factor, you know, we may see we're designated as a 55 and older community, essentially. You know, the reality of it is, I mean, as our communities continue to age, you know, our average age is obviously older than that. You know, I think the thing that we see is, you know, you may as well see a very active 90-year-old resident that sometimes is as active and more involved than potentially a 70-year-old resident.
In the independent environment, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the biggest thing for us are they able to maintain their independence? You know, are they able to do the things that will be required on a daily basis to live independently?
And do you have some residents that are 55?
No, not currently.
Yeah,
not currently.
So what are you seeing people come in their 60s then, typically, or
typically late 60s. To honestly late 80s. You know,
really?
We even have a couple residents that are 90 plus.
Wow. Mm.
Now, how do you work with the family when they're making that transition from being at home and then to entering one of these facilities for the first time?
The family are a really important part of the process, and you know, typically the family, whether it be children or brothers, sisters, you know, typically they validate the move probably 90+% of the time. You know, it kind of varies back and forth whether or not the family truly seeks out the environment,
right,
versus the resident themselves. You know, we're blessed to have a very active population there that in many times the resident themselves first seeks out our services,
mm-hmm,
and then have the children or, like I said, the other decision maker to be able to come and ultimately validate their decision.
Now, I would imagine that I've seen it in my neighborhood is transitioning from older people in the neighborhood to younger people, so I'm friendly with a lot of the older people. But they'll start talking and they'll say, the neighbor marries at this place and I'm going to be there soon. And, you know, it's just it seems like a logical progression in their minds.
Well, and I think so. I think the beauty of our campus truly is that we're able to provide those levels of care in, mm-hmm, the independent living, and truly be able to sell a product that allows them to age in place.
Right.
You know, it's a tough decision. Anytime you make a transition, you know, whether you move, you know, from neighborhood to neighborhood or from an individual home to,
sure,
an independent living setting. You know, so what we try to do is honestly be able to offer those services, whether it be independent living, assisted living, or skilled nursing and rehab.
Right, whatever they need.
Absolutely.
Bart, give us just some insight into why you do what you do.
You know, I think most importantly, just my basic love for the senior population. You know, I think it's very rewarding, you know, looking back and just having those experiences to be able to assist the people that have given so much to us. You know, I think, you know, it's been said many times, you know, this is the greatest generation. And I think for us to be able to, as an organization and its associates, to be able to provide that level of service mm-hmm. for them is very powering.
So you've only been Garden Plaza only been open for a couple of years, and I know you started in a challenging time in the economy. Yet you've been successful. Are there any stories you can think of over the last 2 years where you know you've seen some cool things happen with your residents?
You know, I think going back to what I said a minute ago, you know, bottom line. There's so many stories that are going through my mind, you know, just the opportunity to share with the residents. And I think that is something that the three of us are all blessed with every day, is to be able to truly be able to sit down and share with them, share their experiences, you know, hear experiences they've had throughout their lives. And, you know, truly we feel like that what we do so many times is supporting them and encouraging them, when in many cases it's kind of the flip. You know, they mm-hmm. encourage and are able yeah. to be able to bless us.
Bart, are there any organizations that Garden Plaza, Life Care Centers of Lawrenceville are associated with that you'd like to speak to?
Sure, you know, there are many great organizations in our community. A couple that come to mind are Friends of Gwinnett Senior Services. You know, they do a great job, you know, out in the community, just supporting our seniors. Gwinnett Senior Provider Network, also something that we've been involved and active with. They just seem to really have a heart to help our seniors, which is a great thing. Involved in the Rotary Club as well, a lot of community stuff. So.
Very good. If you were going to give a family a piece of advice as they start to consider alternatives to staying at home, what might that be?
I think probably the most important thing for me was just to be informed. And, you know, we have many people that would come through a community, and I think to be informed with the services that are out there, to not make those decisions, you know, when you're in crisis mode, you know, ultimately to be able to gain the knowledge in your community of what services are available. And if you can do that on the front end, it makes things a lot less stressful, you know, whenever that time arises that you do have a need or you do have a desire to make a change.
That's good advice. One final question then. How can our listeners contact you if they're interested in taking a tour or just getting more information?
Okay, again, it's Garden Plaza at Lawrenceville, and the number is 770-236-8333, or my email, also is a good way, is jbwalker@centurypa.com.
A website? Is there a website?
Yes, www.lawrencevilleretirement.com.
Great.
Very good. Well, thank you for being with us this morning, Bart. Next up, we have Lisa Lewis, and Lisa is the general manager for The Bridge, which is the campus assisted living community.
Correct.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in senior care and how you came to the Century organization.
Okay. I grew up here in the Atlanta area. And
wow. Yeah, not many of those left.
No. My father was actually transplanted here when I was very young, so this is home for me. And so I went to school at Georgia Southern and found out about recreation and what that was all about. And so I was very interested in learning how to structure programming and activities and events and how that can be beneficial to people. So through that, I worked at a rehab facility and just started working with seniors. And from that, I just learned that there's just so many benefits to doing what you love and how therapeutic that can be. So I have just, from recreation as an activities director, just worked my way up and just for the love and the passion that I have in the programming aspect to, you know, managing properties.
Now, can you share a little bit about, from a recreation standpoint, what are some of the things that go on at a facility?
Sure. I think that programming and recreation, especially in assisted living, is probably one of the most important things to keep the residents engaged and involved daily. Typically in assisted living, you see the majority of the residents have some type of dementia, mild to end-stage dementia, and it's very important to keep them engaged throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Activity ideas such as that we offer at the Bridge are things like daily exercise. Walking outside is so important to keep them moving. We offer stimulating activities like trivia, brain teasers, puzzles, things to keep their minds engaged.
Right.
And then we also offer fun events. You know, we're in the process of planning our Mardi Gras party this month. So we have fun events as well.
So you do themed events according to the time of year?
Theme events, and then we also have monthly events that we try to circle around with our dining services, some type of a theme meal.
Right.
And just try to get them involved in that theme for the day. The activities are programmed around the theme as well as the meals.
Now, how about in exercise, I think, would be an important component of a resident's life in order to keep them active and to keep them moving around and being able to do a lot of these things. Do you have different kinds of exercise for different, you know, the level of fitness that each of the people have?
The majority of our exercises are done chair exercises, just for safety,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of my current residents do have ambulatory issues,
right.
And they're not as steady on their feet. So we really try to focus on our arms and our necks and our lower bodies by sitting in a chair. But, you know, we encourage walking. And, you know, we do have a walking group, and we encourage that,
right.
Because we want them to keep doing that. It's so important.
Right.
But for most of the exercises, though, they are done.
Do they use bands or any of those kind of things, or is it
to fund music, scarves, bands,
right.
Balls, dancing along to the music?
Mm-hmm.
That's very therapeutic. Yes.
Are dances popular there?
We have done that. They are, some like to dance, more so they just enjoy the music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Music is very, very therapeutic.
Let's take a quick step back. How long have you been at the Bridge?
About a year.
A year, mm-hmm. Okay. And tell us what you were doing prior to coming to the Bridge.
I've been with other communities, and when there was an opportunity with the Bridge, I was just excited when I toured the community to see the residents, the lifestyle, I say this all the time, the warm fuzzy when you walk in the door. It's so important. And I could feel the energy that was in that building, and I wanted to be a part of that team.
Mm. And if you can, what distinguishes the level of care between independent and assisted living? Is there one, or can you give us an idea?
You know, because we're on a campus, we work together very closely, you'll start to see a transition in an independent living resident at Garden Plaza, where we'll start to have conversations where it could be time to start looking at the assisted living community. Things like having trouble with medications, mm-hmm. They're not able to manage that. Maybe not getting down to meals on time. Okay. They can no longer structure their day independently. The resident would have trouble engaging in things, showing that initiative. And those are all triggers where you start to look at, okay, well, it might be time to start looking at assisted living and see about transitioning over to our community.
And I'm sure that is a very delicate time in someone's stay. How do you approach someone that's independent, that wants to remain independent, that believes they should be independent, and move them to a situation that they come to embrace an idea of being in an assisted living?
Well, I think that's where, you know, us as a campus, we have to be available, and right, I try to make a conscious effort to visit both properties, and we all do that, so they can see what's going on at the Bridge. So many times that the residents in independent living, they see us very differently, you know, lots of wheelchairs, walkers, you know, and it's just that next scary phase in their life as they age. nobody, you know, I always say all the time, people want to move to Garden Plaza, you know, because of the whole country club feeling, and it's a beautiful facility. Where the Bridge, you have to need to move there. And, you know, we offer the services that they need in their life during that time. So it's a hard transition. We work closely with the families, work closely with siblings, just to try to make it an easy transition for them.
Just out of curiosity, what percentage of your residents come from Garden Plaza versus from the outside?
I would say most of our residents move in from the outside. We have had some residents move from Garden Plaza to the Bridge. And that is the idea, that continuum of care, right, community that we can offer. But I would say most of our residents do come from their homes or outside.
Well, I suppose that with the Garden Plaza only having been there a couple of years, you haven't really had time for the natural progression in some cases, at least.
Well, yeah, Bart was saying he's got 90-year-olds, so obviously he's keeping him as long
point.
As possible.
Well, and, you know, in my residence, I would say I think my youngest is 67 and my oldest is 103. So there's a wide range. And again, it's all about what they require. You know, my 67-year-old could not live, you know, by himself in independent living. Yeah. He does require someone to supervise his daily needs every day and structure that for him. You know, and he's young, and he has found friends, and he is enjoying his lifestyle at the Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the social life at the Bridge. I mean, I know that is a component, obviously, for therapeutical reasons, but speak to that and tell us, give our listeners an idea of what they could expect.
Okay. Well, we do offer 3 meals a day, so just a day in the life of a resident. We do awaken our residents, assist them getting up, getting them to breakfast for the day, even escort them or help guide them to the meal. In our dining room, we have servers, which is very unique in assisted living, dedicated servers. So that allows our care assistants to really focus on that care component. So once they have breakfast, we then transition them or encourage them to go to the activity area, where the activity program starts around 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's where they'll spend most of their time, different programs that we offer, going back into lunch. And then, you know, after lunch, we do tend to see a lot of residents retire to their apartments and take a little nap, or some of them will have therapy.
That's like Sam.
That's what I was getting ready to say. That sounds like me.
And then we have late afternoon activities, and we do have evening activities as well. It was important to me, something that I felt like that the building needed when I came over a year ago, was we needed programming 7 days a week. So I have an activities director there 7 days a week, even on the weekends. It's the same program Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday, that they're not missing out on that. Like I said, with residents who have dementia, it's so important that they stay on the same routine day after day after day. So that is something that's unique about the Bridge, that we do offer the same activity schedule 7 days a week.
So in our organization, obviously, we serve people in their homes primarily. And one of the things that we hear from clients is, you know, just kind of a trepidation about moving to a place where they're leaving their friends behind in the neighborhood, even though they may not be able to get out and see them anymore. But they're worried about coming in and having a whole group of strangers. And what do you see in terms of your residents kind of acclimating to the environment and reaching out and making friends? How long does that typically take, and how do you encourage that?
I think that's human nature. Anytime that you're introduced, like you remember, it's the first day of school, you know, you're scared to death meeting new people and where to find the lunchroom and things like that. It's the same thing. I think that's human nature. Typically, with what I tell my families is anywhere from 2 weeks to a month, for them to really get into a routine and meet people and understand the programming and understand their schedule and know where things are. And that's where it's kind of honeymoon phase, too. We really got to learn what their ins and outs are, what their routines are, what their likes, their dislikes. So there really is that time where we get to know them and they get to know us. But it's amazing to me. So many families will say, you know, Mom's just not settling in. We don't know what to do. We're going to take her home for the weekend and just try it. Daughter takes mom home Saturday. They're back at lunch. Mom wants to come home. This is home now. Yeah. And that's such a wonderful feeling to hear families say that. You know, mom is calling the bridge home now.
I think you just answered my next question. I was going to ask you, obviously you have a passion. What refuels it? And I think you just answered that.
Yeah, I do. I think we have a very lucky job. You know, so many people go to their jobs every day. I get excited about going to my job every day and getting smiles and getting hugs and getting thank yous. Sure, there's days that are rough, you know, and we have lots of obstacles to overcome. But for the most part, I mean, just to impact somebody's life, it's a wonderful job.
Now, when you're there every day, is there an escape for you?
Is there an escape for me?
Right. You know, does it get, you know, challenging every day being there?
There's a challenge every day.
Right.
I mean, you're working with people. There's not a typical day for me.
Right.
I think she goes over to Garden Plaza and hops in the hot tub.
I wish I could do that. No. No, there's days where I have my day outlined in my mind, my to-do list is ready, and I sit down at my desk,
right,
and I don't complete one thing, and that's okay.
Right.
I mean, that's my job. My job is to make sure that my residents are safe and happy, my families are happy, my staff are doing what they're supposed to do, that they're happy. That's my job, and if my to-do list changes, that's
so be it.
Absolutely.
Now, but is that, when you're hiring people, is that you look for that kind of quality, that flexibility?
You have to be very flexible, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something that we tell especially in assisted living, you have to be a universal employee. You know, it's so important that you're not just a caregiver. You're also assisting with getting someone to activities. You're also assisting in the dining room. You're helping someone get on the bus. I mean, you're doing so many different roles that you're almost kind of like a big dormitory, and everyone's just helping along throughout their day.
Right. Lisa, can you share with our listeners, is there a unique experience that is kind of a heartfelt story that you might share with our listeners where you've been involved?
Sure. There was a family that their father, he was from New York, and he had some behavioral issues associated with his dementia that caused him to be removed or be asked to leave several other assisted living communities. And working with this family, he was, because of his dementia, he couldn't get over the fact that he was reliving his brother's death every day, day after day after day. And, you know, we would try to convince him that it's okay, you know, we're you know, he's gone. We couldn't get through. So we finally decided to come up with a funeral. And we actually had a funeral for him and his family where they actually came in, and it was wonderful. He put it to rest. I mean, in his mind, he started, he was not aggressive any longer. He would take his medications. He would go to sleep. He wouldn't wander the building. He just needed that to go to rest. And it was amazing because his brother had passed away 30, 40 years ago. But in his mind, he was reliving this day after day after day. We had a program. The family came in. We had a minister and, you know, really getting into that reality. And that's what you have to do. You have to kind of think outside of the box and get into what their reality is. And it was a huge success. The family was reluctant, but they went along. And, I mean, they were so thankful. Wow, he was a different person.
What a creative
tremendous
idea.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous. Yeah.
Lisa, if you were going to give a family a piece of advice that was starting to consider assisted living for their loved one, what would that be?
I think the most important things that I always tell families, even when they come to tour me, is really take a look at other communities besides just my own. Shop. You need to go and visit other communities. See how the residents are dressed. Are they engaged? Is the staff engaged with them? Go at odd times, go on the weekends, go visit in the evening time, see what's going on. This is going to be your mom or dad's home, and you need to know what's going on, not just when you schedule that tour. So really, you know, I encourage them to really go out and look at other communities and see what's going on, not just when you schedule that time, but do unscheduled visits as well.
Great advice. Lisa, if somebody wants a tour or they want to reach you, how can our listeners reach you?
I can be contacted at the Bridge at Lawrenceville at 678-377-8191 and by email at llewis@centurypa.com.
And is there a website?
You can go on to Century PA, and you can look at all of our locations that we are. And if you look at Georgia, we'll come up.
Okay. And I will make sure that when we post this, that the link just says click here so they don't have to go through that whole process of finding the right property. So, well, very good. Lisa, thank you again for being with us this morning. And finally, we have with us the executive director of Life Care of Lawrenceville, a skilled care community. And welcome, Holly Noth.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We appreciate you being here as well. And so give us, same routine. Give us a little bit about your background and where you're from, your education, how you got involved in senior services.
Okay, great. I actually grew up in New Jersey. And lived in New Jersey for most of my life, did also live in Pennsylvania, but commuted back and forth to the same private school and community there. My parents actually met and married and went to school in Tennessee, and they always knew they wanted to move back. So when my sister and I got to the point where we're almost getting ready for college, we all moved back to Tennessee. I went to Southern Adventist University and went to the School for Business Administration, and I also got my long-term care administration degree. While I was there in starting school, I really didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but knew I wanted to do business. And Monday night, there was this class that they had where every Monday night they'd have a new business come in and tell what they did to kind of help you decide what you wanted to do. And a long-term care group came in, and it was just kind of like a light went off, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. I had grown up going to nursing homes, singing and volunteering and being there, but never actually knew that's the direction I wanted to go. So that is how I kind of came into the profession that I had.
That's great. So when you were in school and in college, how old were you when this light bulb came on?
I would say I was probably 21.
That's interesting. That's most people can't make that decision at that early age. That's great. Tell us, Holly, a little bit about the skilled care rehabilitation facility. Tell us what it is, the level of services that you all provide, and what makes it unique.
Okay. At Life Care Center of Lawrenceville, we offer a variety of services. We also are, of course, a skilled nursing facility, so we have long-term care, but we also specialize in rehab. The rehab that we kind of do has lots of different individualized therapy plans, orthopedics for fractures, hip and knee replacements. We have a new lymphedema therapy program, neuromuscular rehab for stroke and Parkinson's disease, pain management for pain such as chronic back pain, arthritis pain, and other joint pain. Treatment strategies for osteoporosis and preventive education are some of the things that we offer. And what makes us unique, we are a wonderful community, a wonderful facility. You walk in, it doesn't feel like a nursing facility. We have the option to be able to do outpatient therapy where they can come straight in just to do their rehab and not necessarily stay at the facility. So I think that is something that makes us unique.
What percentage of your community is dedicated to long-term care versus the rehab?
That fluctuates here and there, but probably about 60 to 70% is long-term care, and then the rest short-term.
And do you end up seeing people that are coming from the Bridge or Garden Plaza? Is the continuing care idea working?
Yes, it definitely is. If residents that might be at our independent at Garden Plaza, if for some reason they have any kind of knee surgery or type of surgery they need to do, then they come to our facility for the couple, 2 weeks of rehab, and then go back to the community. Same as at the Bridge. If someone has some kind of surgery and needs our services, they come and then are able to go back home. And then on the flip side, when it gets to the point where they're just not quite making it at the Bridge and they just need that next level of care, then we have multiple residents that have come to our facility.
The continuity of care, at least on the philosophical level, I think would be a great advantage to be able to know that I'm at Garden Plaza, I'm going to have a knee replacement, which necessitates rehab. The same organization is providing all that. I think that's real value.
Can you talk a little bit about when a patient is going through rehab in kind of a facility setting, how that's different than if they're going through rehab, like maybe if they were at their own home and they would be driving to a rehab center and back.
Okay. It gives them the ability to be right there, be real close to the rehab gym. I know that if someone's doing it at their house, they're only seen three times a week, and then it's not maybe quite as long that they're getting the therapy. When they're at the facility, we're able to give them as much therapy as they need and they can handle while they're there.
Right.
We have lots of different machines. We have a Biodex machine, new steps. We have a multitude of machines that they can use that they would not get if they were at home.
Right. I've found I've had several relatives that have been at a rehab center that the quality of care and their improvement is dramatic compared to when they're at their home going through a rehab in a kind of an individual basis.
Yes, and I see that as well.
And I'm assuming that is because the rehab is more intense, more frequent, and you have someone supervising all the time, making certain that the emotions are proper. Is that correct?
That is correct. And we also, being that we're the skilled nursing facility, we have the nurse that's there and continuing to give them the care they need.
Right.
If they need IV antibiotics, we can provide that. Whatever kind of skilled need that they would have nursing-wise, we're right there. We have activity programs. We have a computer that they can use to access their email and continue their life as normal, but in our facility, and to be able to benefit from the holistic care that we have.
And what sets Life Care apart from other rehab facilities in the area?
We are the premier provider, I feel, in our community. We have excellent therapists and associates that work at our facility. You can, when you walk in the door, it looks, you know, like a hotel. It doesn't smell.
Right.
It's a really great place that offers great care, and I'm very proud and happy to be a part of it.
Tell us, Holly, obviously, if someone is at your facility, they're in a difficult period of their life, and it's very stressful for them, for your staff, for you. What is it that you find so rewarding? Why is it that you have the energy level that you have for what you do?
You know, every day when you go there, it's a new day, and it is, like you said, you're talking about rewarding. It's rewarding to see each resident just be who they are and be able to have a life and have a happy life. We have one of our residents is Miss Georgia Nursing Home for 2009. And so she, that's been the highlight of her 2009. She goes to speaking engagements,
wow,
throughout the state of Georgia, and just being able to see the residents live their lives. On the rehab side, someone coming in that had a stroke, that couldn't speak, couldn't move, and now, you know, after therapy, they're going back to where they're talking, they're walking, and they're going home. So being able to see them have their life back is just amazing.
Okay, I can't let you get by without exploring this. What is and how does one become Miss Georgia Nursing Home 2009 or whatever it may be?
Okay, in the state of Georgia, every facility has the ability to be able to offer a annual pageant. And so ours is a huge pageant that we have annually. And different residents throughout the facility, the requirement is they have to at least have been there for a year. They participate. And we usually have about six participants. And it's a huge, huge thing where they all dress up. We have makeup. We have just the whole thing. And then they go and they have to answer questions to the judges to be able to say.
Right, like a pageant. Regular
yeah,
pageant.
Just like a pageant. And then there's the annual winner, and then they get crowned, and the last year's winner crowns the new winner. And from that point, then we submit a scrapbook of what the resident's life and kind of just the questions of how they won to the state. And then there's kind of, they pick the top, and then they have one at the state level.
State, wow.
And so, and then she was selected the state level.
Now, some of those pageants have a little bit of controversy. Has yours had any controversy?
You know, each resident wants, you know, it's just to say they want to be that
right,
that
it's
winner.
Competitive.
It is.
Right. People do crazy things when there's a crown at stake, Sam.
All I can do is shake my head, Lee. That's all I can do.
Oh, boy. How do you follow that? How long do people typically stay? You know, you said they've got to stay a year to be eligible for this. How long do people typically stay in the long-term care section?
Residents that come to us are usually there until just till their life end. Mm. Our skilled residents, they'll come from anywhere from a couple days to up to their almost 3 months to get their rehab. Mm.
Is there a hospice component?
We have hospice different companies. If someone is at that level, then there's hospice companies that, you know, we just let them know that it's available, and then they would choose at that point, and they could come in.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that on the rehab side that typically it's Medicare covering the cost. On the long-term care side, I know Medicare has a limitation of number of days. So what are the options for covering the cost of this?
There's long-term care insurance that people have, private pay, and there's also Medicaid. Okay.
Can you tell us a situation that you were directly involved with where that you found so rewarding, that you saw the outcome of someone or affected someone in such a positive way?
I know how Bart mentioned before, there's so many different situations. You try and think, which one, you know, am I really want to talk about? But the one that comes to mind the most is we had a resident who came for short-term therapy. She had surgery, and she made it about 2 weeks before her Rottweiler that she loved had to be put down because of cancer. And, you know, animals are like loved ones, and they're like family. And to be able to even complete her therapy in general, I mean, it was just one of those devastating events in her life. Well, I also have a Rottweiler, mm-hmm. and I, as soon as I found out that had happened, that afternoon I ran home, picked up my Rottweiler, came back to the facility, and I walked into that room, and she, her face, I can still picture her face just lighting up and just crying and just being able to hold and pet my Rottweiler, Rambo. And, you know, it was just such an amazing, a rewarding time. I can't forget it.
That's
so
great. That's great. Are there any special organizations, Holly, that you personally or Life Care is involved in that you'd like to speak to?
Well, we also are part of the Alzheimer's Association. They'll come in and do events, and we try to have a support group for our residents and families. We're also working with the Georgia Medical Care Foundation, which is part of the National Care Transitions Initiative to reduce hospitalizations within 30 days. And we've been working with them for a little over a year and a half. And I know that several hospitals and other nursing facilities and hope everybody's involved in that process.
And for our listeners who have a loved one that might be seeking a skilled care facility, how would they begin this process? What advice could you give them?
If someone was looking for a skilled nursing facility, I would tell them to go and look at other facilities that are out there, tour them. When they're walking around, talk to other residents that they run into or family members and gauge how they respond, because the family members and residents are very willing to tell them what's going on and what they think about the facility. And that's probably, I'd say, the best thing to do is get out there and see what is out there so you know which place you want to put your loved one.
And I think it's important for people to understand that they have a choice. You know, I think a lot of times coming off of a hospital stay, people have a tendency to let themselves be directed. And, you know, I think one of the things we see a lot is that, you know, we tell our clients, you do have a choice. And
that's right. And they have a choice to get the best care and the best fit for them.
Very good. Holly, how can our listeners reach you?
You can reach me by calling Life Care Center of Lawrenceville at 678-442-0777. You can reach me. My email is holie_not@lcca.com. And we also have a website, www.lcca.com. And you have to click on Georgia, and then our facility would come up.
Very good. Well, again, Holly, thanks for being here. And thanks also to Lisa and to Bart. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. You can listen to this later by going to our website, www.ugeriaradio.com. And remember, if children are our nation's greatest asset, seniors are our nation's greatest treasure. Tune in at the same time next week for another great edition of Ugeria Radio.
Ujiria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and is recorded in the Business Radio X Studios.